Brett, sometimes I dream of becoming an actor. Have you ever dreamt of becoming an actor? Maureen, what is it you think I do for a living? Never mind, sounds like you need the New York Film Academy. NYFA offers workshops, BFA and MFA degrees and summer camps in filmmaking, acting, journalism and more, online and on campuses across the globe. To make films alongside industry professionals, explore more at nyfa.edu. Thanks, Brett. Thank you, Maureen.
Apple Card is the perfect cashback rewards credit card. You earn up to 3% daily cash on every purchase, every day. That's 3% on your favorite products at Apple, 2% on all other Apple Card with Apple Pay purchases, and 1% on anything you buy with your titanium Apple Card or virtual card number. Visit apple.co/card calculator to see how much you can earn. Apple Card issued by Goldman Sachs Bank USA, Salt Lake City branch. Subject to credit approval. Terms apply.
Maureen, your Canva presentation looks brilliant. Thanks, Brett. That's because I used AI-powered Canva presentations. I just described what I wanted, and Canva presentations generated the perfect slides. You can even make a talking presentation for people to watch on their own time. Check this out. Recording. 101 Reasons Why Beaches is the Saddest Film Ever Made by your neighbour Maureen. Is it easy to use? If you can use a computer, you can nail your next work presentation with Canva Presentations at canva.com. Designed for work. Oh, thanks, my neighbour Maureen. Yeah, thank you.
Look out, it only seems to be very good. Rewind, that's it.
Hello, my name is Buddy Peace. I'm a producer, an editor, a DJ, a music maker, a shook one, and for intro and outro purposes, I'm temporarily standing in for your regular host and proud creator of this particular podcast, Mr. Brett Goldstein. As Big Pun once said, dead in the middle of Little Italy, little did we know that we riddled two middlemen who didn't do diddly. And unrelated, I caught a triple bill of Little Women, Chicken Little, and In the Middle of the River. The last one does exist if you want to check it out on IMDb. I would never dispute you, Big Pun. Every week, Brett invites a guest on, he tells them they've died, and then talks to them about their life through the medium of film. But this week, we are revisiting an earlier episode of the podcast while we take an ever so quick break. Yes, indeed, it is that time once more for a Films to be Buried With Rewind classic. This rewind is from sometime around June 2020, a period for which some of us might see a sign in our imagination simply saying, footage missing. This was the early moments of the pandemic, and an interesting time for a huge amount of podcasts as the Zoom platform started to form a very large piece of the puzzle. But so many of us also became so familiar with the intricacies and glitches and overlapping of Zoom, because we were communicating with people in day-to-day life that way too. One thing is for sure though, at a time when being in the same room as someone for a podcast recording was an unwise move, an episode with the one and only Sharon Stone would have otherwise been impossible. So here we have it. A look back at episode 99 with Sharon Stone, who you know from, well, let's just say films. Basic Instinct, Sliver, Casino, to name but three. But in this chat, we heard so much of what Sharon does when off screen, including some really inspiring charity work and her experiences in that world. Of course, we also get some grade A anecdotes from her career in acting and some really awesome film digs, which don't often come up on the podcast, which I can confirm now we're almost on episode 300. Let me take this opportunity to also remind you that Brett has a Patreon page for the podcast, upon which you will get an extra section on every episode with a secret from each guest, more questions, and a video of each episode, which looks all nice and fresh. There are a selection of tiers on there too, and on the uppermost tiers, I make you a cinematic soundtrack mixtape every month with full track list that I reckon you'll enjoy very much. So if you're of a supporting nature and feel like some extras from this show, you'll find them all there. So that's it for now. Let's get you settled in now with a lovely look back at a really great episode with acting royalty Sharon Stone. She was recording outside, and there are some outside sounds here and there, and at the time I did what I could to rescue some of the harder to hear moments. I've given it a new sweep too, just to make sure, but just to note that the sound is very occasionally a little bit funky. Alright, catch you at the end for a quick sign off, but for now, please enjoy episode 99 via episode 290 of Films to be Buried With.
Hello, and welcome to Films to be Buried With. It is I, Brett Goldstein from South London, and I am joined today by an activist, a hero, a producer, a writer, an actor, a legend, a woman of the year, a woman of the century, and one of the greatest film stars of all time. Please welcome to the show the incredible Sharon Stone!
Yeah! You should just introduce me everywhere I go. Like,
I'd love to.
When I go to the next room to see my children would be great. If I get to look up from the computer.
You need to be more excited that she's here. I'll keep saying that at every door. We are recording this over Zoom. You are in your garden in Beverly Hills. Thank you so much for doing this. How are you so far with lockdown living?
You know, I've never gotten to spend this much time with my teenage sons, so I'm really happy. You know, they don't get to really complain about hanging out with me, so it's awesome. You know, I give them all the time they want on their computers, and in exchange, we have dinner together every day.
That's the trade-off, is it?
Kind of. And, you know, they have their chores and I have mine, and we do them relatively without complaint. And it's good. You know, it's actually fun. And we're doing things together that we enjoy. And we feel so blessed. I mean, my kids get it that we're lucky that we have our own roof over our head and food to eat and that we're well. And, you know, so far, everything's okay here. We're really grateful. You know, we have to talk about it before we eat. We sit down at the table and we either say a prayer or we talk about it or we have some moments of gratitude. And I think it's really grounding. And just being able to be more fully in our core personalities has been, well, frankly, I think it's good for everybody.
Yeah, I think so. That's very nice. I wanted to ask you, there were a couple of things I wanted to ask you. And one of them was, you do a lot of work in lots of different areas, because now a lot of us are enforced not working, you know. Do you like that, or does it make you anxious? Are you happy to relax and not work, or do you need to work?
Oh, I'm working.
Oh, you are working.
I mean, a lot of what I do, I don't leave home to do it. Sometimes I do. I travel a lot internationally. But a lot of what I do does work like this anyway, you know, because I talk to people internationally and, you know, like it can be as simple as, you know, I worked with an organization. Well, let's go back further. When I worked with ANPAR and I was doing, trying to find a cure vaccine for AIDS, we started to realize that one of the things we wanted to do was stop mother-to-child transmission. We developed this drug called nevirapine that stopped mother-to-child transmission. So in third world countries, there was a big problem with that because the mothers couldn't breastfeed and they had filthy water.
So
it was like, are you giving your kid malaria or are you giving your kid AIDS? So then I started to realize we've got to really work on clean water. So I went to Africa with a group. And I started to become educated about how to drill wells, how to drill them. I went to northern Uganda and where you put them. Can you put them in bedrock? Can you put them in dirt? How do you put them in? How much does it cost? How do you broker with these like very small area politicians who, you know, are corrupt in ways that are, you know, it's hard to really explain. So yes, you're trying to deal with why things cost so much money that shouldn't cost that much money. And then how to get these towns to invest. And then I work with Muhammad Yunus, who invented the microloan, who I met when I was lucky enough to host the Nobel Peace Prize concert. And I got to interview him. So then I helped bring the microloan to America. Because even though we're a first world country, there's a lot of areas that need the microloan where we can get very, very small loans and start businesses and get homeless people off the street. So all these things start to interconnect. And yeah, then ultimately, I meet all people from all different kinds of 501(c)(3)s, which are what these charities are called. So I'm able to sometimes say, hey, you who are a charity who put in cattle, chickens, things like that into areas. Hey, you who are putting in water. Hey, you who are giving microloans. Can I organize you so that we start putting them in the same place?
Yeah.
So if somebody, you can direct somebody and say, would you like to put your water where someone has already put livestock? Hey, you, would you like to give some microloans in an area so those people don't get raped when they're going from the latrine back to the village? So they can have cell lights.
Yeah.
And then this becomes, now we're starting to have a functioning town. And then we start to end poverty in this area. So a lot of the work that I do is just hooking people up with each other. As the work I've done over the last 25 years, I've met so many people and I know so many different people from all over the world that people know me and they know that I don't have any but thing in the game. I just want things to get better.
That's so amazing. That's brilliant. That's incredible. I didn't know half of that. That's some serious shit.
It's actually quite terrific.
So you've seen actual like success and positive growth and all this stuff from all these things.
Yes, and then I also have the opportunity to know wonderful people who work in the UN and people who work at World Health, and they keep me educated as what we're doing this, and here's the statistics there, and maybe they go to Rohingya and go in these refugee camps, and I'm watching them, I'm live there with them on their cameras, and they're saying to me, oh, did you know the average time that someone spends in a refugee camp is 12 years? Well, I didn't know that. So what happens to me is then I start to be able to tell people like you that. And we start to ask governments, well, then why aren't you putting in toilets or showers or schools? If you know that's the average amount of time, where is the compassionate funding? Why are we treating people like this? Why are we letting diseases run rampant? And then why, when we come to places like now we're in a pandemic, were we just doing that so if that happened, all these people would die? I mean, what is the end game here? So this is, I said that sometimes you just have to go outside and like just scream at the top of your lungs.
Yeah.
And if I don't, I don't know how to cope with all of the...
Well, you seem to be dealing and seeing such a vast amount of stuff at once. I don't know how one person can hold it all in without having to scream or cry or explode. That's really amazing.
And that, my friend, is why we should not be going out now.
Yeah.
Don't go out. You'll only become a statistic. And while statistics are, in fact, extremely important, if we actually would have intelligent behavior and we would have a team of people who would go door to door all through this country, phone to phone, taking statistics professionally, we wouldn't have to kill people to get statistics. We just need a team.
Yeah.
We don't need to really die to get these statistics now.
Yeah. I much prefer that way around. I prefer the using phones than everyone having to die.
We're all bugged anyway. Oh, come on. If you have a cell phone, if you have a computer, everybody knows everything that everyone is doing. It's not that hard. We can really easily get these statistics done.
You
don't have to die for them, in my opinion.
I agree.
And yes, the economy is going to go to shit, but every country is just going to have to stand up and forgive every other country's debts.
Yeah.
And then it'll be exactly like it is right now. Nothing will have changed.
That's the bit I can't get my head around, but I'm not half as intelligent as you is. I just sort of think, isn't economy, it's just all, it's made up.
It's all made
it's
up.
Numbers so in it. Machines.
It's just all made up anyway. So why doesn't every country just say we're going to start from zero, forgive everybody's debts on the entire planet, every human being, each other, every single person is starting over.
I think that's honestly, that's my, I also think in terms of like even creative stuff, like everyone's making such weird stuff because we're all locked in. I sort of feel like when this is all over, let's just, we'll wipe the slate clean. We won't, everyone can forget all the mad things that we did to get through this. And like, we'll start from zero, start the economy. We'll start creatively, everything.
Yeah, right.
Like, take it as a fresh start. That's what it was for.
Right. See who we are. See who we are.
See who we are. I would like that. Can we do that?
Right.
I'll do that. You and me. All right. So tell me this. Can I ask you this? Creatively, you said to me, if I may, before we started this, you said you were writing a short story. Are you writing lots of things, the creative stuff?
I wrote a book. It's coming out in January of 21. And I got
fiction
look
or
at my
nonfiction?
Book.
Bit of both.
It's about me. And I am a bit of a nutter. So we'll see.
That sounds exciting. Is it your memoirs?
Hard to say.
Okay.
I don't know if that I would call it a memoir. It's exploring a moment in my life and how I got there.
How fascinating. So it's just about one short period.
Yeah, I had a stroke and a 9-day brain hemorrhage. And it starts when I'm on the table with the doctor telling me that I'm having a brain hemorrhage. And then it's me trying to figure out, how the fuck did that happen?
Oh my God.
What did I do to end up there?
Yeah.
What happened in my life that led me there?
9 days.
Yeah.
Sharon Stone, you have lived a life. My God.
That's what it's about.
Well, that sounds fascinating. One last question I wanted to ask you before we get to the main stuff that I'm always fascinated with is that as an actor, you were working very hard and very well and doing lots of good stuff for quite a while before you were suddenly massively famous and a massive film star. So there were a few years before that. And in that time, I imagine, and I could be wrong, but I imagine you have ideas of what it is like to be at the level that you then got to. But when it actually happened, when you sort of broke through, was it terrifying and a nightmare, or was it amazing and wonderful, or a bit of both?
Yeah, it was a lot. I think that we sometimes have an understanding of pieces of our destiny. It's like, does a caterpillar know it's going to be a butterfly? Does it like the way it feels when it's being broken apart? Does it like that feeling? Does it feel good when it's smashing through? Does it feel like it's dying? And then when it starts to fly, does that feel good? Do other butterflies say, hey, you made it? Or do they say, like, you know, get the fuck away from me
because I don't
know what's going to happen next?
Right.
That was really intense. I don't know what's going to happen now.
Yeah.
It's a lot like that.
Right.
And there was something about the nature of me that was singular.
Right.
I wasn't the kind of star that everybody was like, oh, let's all get together and be with her.
You were a lone butterfly.
Yeah. I wasn't like, you know, a flock of sparrows, a gathering of these things. Yeah. It wasn't like there were a whole lot of us and I was going to be, oh, look, I'm one of them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it was like, what the fuck? And that's an intense reality.
Yeah, I can only imagine. I imagine it being quite terrifying. The thing that I imagine is terrifying. I imagine a lot of it's very exciting and thrilling, but it's not being able to turn it off. That's the bit that would scare me.
It's good to have a sense of humor.
Yeah.
And I was very blessed not to be so young. I was already 32, thank God, or I probably would have been dead. And I was very lucky to have friends that I'd had already for a long time.
Right.
And I have those same friends now.
That's great.
So that's the thing. that's the thing I really think about with stars that become stars so very young, you know, and that's like, I really like Taylor Swift.
Yeah.
And I think a lot, cause she writes such cool lyrics, and I think a lot about that. I hope she has friends and she has keeps those same friends and they stay her friends for 10, 20, 30, 40, 50 years, because, you know, it's unbelievable to sit in the kitchen and say, remember when we were at the other house, you know, 30 years ago, and I couldn't get couldn't get any furniture. And those things really make a difference.
That's beautiful. Have a sense of humor and keep your friends. It's good advice.
Yeah.
Sharon, I've forgotten to tell you something. And it's really bad that I didn't tell you this up top. Yeah. I should have said this at the beginning of the podcast. I feel like an idiot. But I'll just have to say it. It's awkward, but I'm just going to have to say it. You've died. You've died.
I know.
You're dead. I'm so sorry. How did you die, Sharon?
Which time?
The time, the next time.
The next time, because I've been hit with lightning. I had
a stroke. You got hit by lightning?
I got hit by lightning.
What's that like?
Wow. It's really intense.
I can imagine. It sounds like it.
I was at home. We had our own well. I was filling the iron with water, and I had one hand on the faucet, one hand on the iron, and the well got hit with lightning, and the lightning came up through the water. And I got picked up and thrown across the kitchen, and I hit the refrigerator, and I was like, boom. And my mother was standing there, and my mother just belted me across the face.
Why?
And brought me to.
Oh, I see.
It was like, I was in such an altered state, like just so, I don't know how to describe it.
Yeah.
Just so bright, like, wow. And she threw me in the car and drove me to the hospital, and the EKG was just showing such electricity in my body. I had to coax at EKGs like every single day for like 10 days.
Wow.
It was so crazy. Yeah, it was like duh, 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 in my heart.
Properly electric.
Yeah.
Wow.
So,
okay.
I've had a lot of things. It's crazy.
So you've had a lot of deaths. What's your ideal death? Basically, you can choose your dream death.
Under a clothesline, I had my neck cut to like a 16th of an inch from my jugular vein when I was 14.
This is horrific.
I know, right?
You're a miracle.
It's right. So it's like, how am I going to die next time? Probably something again, super dramatic and nuts, but will it get me all the way? I don't know.
I doubt it.
I don't know. Or am I dead now and just like, hey, since, you know,
yeah, you were so much electricity when you got struck by lightning. You're just here on my screen,
just spinning.
So, what's your big dramatic death? What should we choose? Giant boulder comes from the sky, crushes you for a bit.
Oh no! I hope I'm like picked up by aliens and left to move through their like energy source.
And it's too much, and your body explodes.
Or I don't know, something that transforms into like their kind of life force, and then I have to be alive in their thing and see what that's like.
All right, you can have that. Do you worry about death? You've been so through it so many times. Is it something? No, you don't care.
I mean, sometimes I get like tired of, like, I have frailties, and sometimes I get bored with the frailties.
That's fair. Do you believe in an afterlife or another life? But you've had so many.
I'm a Buddhist.
Yeah, okay.
So I believe in like see it again, maybe.
I like that so much. Well, listen, I've got news for you. You're right. If you like, you're right. There is reincarnation, but there's a bit in the middle. There's a pause. And this is where we're meeting. We're meeting in the pause in heaven. And in heaven, they're obsessed with films. They're obsessed with films. Weird, isn't it? And what they want to know about is your life, but through film. And the first thing they ask you is, what is the first film that you remember seeing? She's got her homework. I'm so impressed.
Well, actually, I don't need that. I mean, I watch films on television, but the first one I saw properly, my mother took me to the drive-in, and we saw Georgie Girl with Lynn Redgrave.
Shit, a British film.
And I thought, first of all, it was scandalous, kind of, that she would take me. I was like a little too young to be there. I was probably like 11. And I just remember thinking about how women were wearing girdles and like really funny underwear. And she was just like trying to fight to have her own real life. And, you know, my mother was really interested in that, you know. I just thought she was so cool and really like a wonderful actress. You know what I mean? I just thought she was great. I thought it was great. Like, it was different than the kind of movies I'd seen on TV. It had so much more reality and grit. Yeah.
Do you remember deciding to be an actress, an actor? Did that happen because of, do you remember watching that film and thinking, I want to do that?
Or did you just like? That was part of it. I think that film really influenced my work in Bobby. I would say that was more my Lynn Redgrave kind of tribute work. You know what I mean? That it was like, I saw her like that. I saw that character very like her, you know, that chick who was like, you may think I'm just here, but I have a bigger plan that you don't really get. But if you really saw me, you'd get me. Yeah.
That's great. Where was this? Where were you going to a drive-in? Where did you grow up?
In a little town in Pennsylvania, near the Great Lakes, near the seaports, like Lake Erie, Lake Michigan, all those lakes. And
a lot of lakes. A
lot of lakes, a lot of Amish people, a lot of mobsters. Basic seaport, you know, kind of dingy seaport. Railroad, zipper factory, bars, churches, very Italian kind of environment. Polish, Irish, Italian, like very immigrant sort of.
Forgive my lack of geography knowledge. How far is it from where you are now? Is it like a very long way?
The exact other side of the country.
Oh, right, okay.
It's the state below New York.
Got it.
Philadelphia is in Pennsylvania. Mm-hmm. Which is like where the, you know, it's this capital of our country. Yeah.
Okay. Got it. Tell me this. What is the film that scared you the most? And do you like being scared?
Well, here's the thing. I get scared more by psychological things than by like boo things.
Yeah.
You know? And then I get scared more deeply by things that make me really have to think about stuff. And the one that's made me, that really got into me the most was this film called The Life of David Gale, which was a film that Kevin Spacey and Laura Lippe and my favorite, Kate Winslet, were in. And it was a film about capital punishment. And I watched that movie and, you know, later went to bed. And in the middle of the night, I just sat up, threw my legs over the side of the bed and was just sat there like out of a dead sleep. Mm. And I was just sitting there like, wow, this is so intense. And the impact of it was so deep. And these people have become, I would say they're probably three of my favorite actors. They just, the way they embody their work, the depth to which they're willing to explore their work. So yeah, so that was it.
That's amazing. I was going to ask, and I assume that answers it. Have you found making films has lessened you being able to just enjoy watching films? Do you find yourself analyzing them more from a...
It certainly lessened my ability to like a shitty film.
Right.
A mediocre film or a film where the boom operator keeps dropping the mic into the top of the frame, or
that's my favorite kind of film,
or any of those kind of films, or the film where they cross the line and it's like the guy's over here and then the woman's in the wrong place when you took with it, and I'm like, what did you do? Just stop it. You think we're not going to notice that they're jumping around? I can't tell. I can't even see that. I can't even hear what they're saying.
You can do another take. That's interesting.
Like that, yeah.
And the other thing I wanted to know, when you're acting, if I may, do you work instinctually, or do you do loads and loads of homework and loads of research on your character, and loads of, or do you just let it go, or both? Or a third option, if you like.
Each character has its own way that we approach each other.
Oh, I like that.
Some of them possess me like a demon. Some of them, we make friends. Some of them, we work together and something happens. You know, they were like colleagues.
Yeah, I love this.
You know, it's like, it depends on the character, you know. Characters have their own way of, we meet differently. You know, it's a relationship. And some of them, you know, are easier to say goodbye to than others too.
Yeah.
Some of them, it's like, get the fuck off me.
Please
some
leave.
Some of them, it's like, thank you. Mm. And some of them, you have rituals. Some of them, Amazing. It's just like the end of the day, like whatever, you know. And some of them, for me, some of them just don't take as well as others.
I really love that. Right. What is the film that made you cry the most? Do you cry a lot of films?
I was thinking and thinking, and I think it's The Boy in the Striped Pajamas.
Oof. Oh boy, that's a film.
I think that was it.
Fair enough.
I don't really like sentimentality. Mm-hmm. I like sentiment, but there's something about seeing this kind of profound understanding through a child. Mm. Like I just, alternatively, Life of a Dog, I thought was just so extraordinary.
Yes.
I love that film so much. When that kid had that string running up and down his face, that was it. I was done for. But The Boy in the Striped Pajamas.
That's a good answer. What is the film that critically is not acclaimed? Most people don't like it, but you love it, and you don't care what anyone says.
I don't know what most people think, but it's Triple X.
Triple X! That is the perfect answer.
Triple X. And you know, I'm an adult. I'm in the film business. And I totally believed that Triple X had the Triple X tattoo on the back of his neck. Mm-hmm. And his name was Triple X. And I was at a party.
Yes.
With my then husband.
Yes.
And I turned to him and said, it's Triple X. Oh my God, it's Triple X. Look, it's Triple X. Come on, let's follow him.
And let's follow Triple X.
Diesel around a party going, oh my God, it's Triple X. Look, it's Triple X. He doesn't have the tattoo. He doesn't have it on his neck. And it was like someone told me that the Easter Bunny did not exist. When I saw Vin Diesel without the three X's on his neck, I was astounded.
That was when you found out it wasn't a documentary. Oh, God. That heartbreaking moment. It's not.
I was so sold. It hit some childlike part of my character.
I love that. Did you talk to him or was he scared?
I told him all parts of my sanity were gone. And I was like, Triple X! Triple X!
Oh my God. Did he have to call security? Sharon Stone is following me everywhere, shouting, I'm not Triple X.
She's pounced on Vin Diesel.
She keeps looking at my neck.
And my husband was like, what is wrong with you? Triple X! Bill, it's Triple X! And he's like, Jesus Christ.
That I really was not expecting that answer, and I'm delighted. I'm absolutely delighted.
Maureen, what's this I hear about you going to film school? I am. I want to gain valuable skills while making films and developing my creativity, so I'm attending the New York Film Academy. I'm thinking about becoming one of them people that writes the numbers on the title board. NYFA is a very respected film school. I hear they offer a variety of options to meet your educational goals, whether you want a BFA or MFA degree, or want to learn at a quicker pace with a short-term programme. That's right! They've got workshops and summer camps in filmmaking, acting, cinematography, screenwriting, producing, game design, musical theatre, and more. Are you attending in New York? Might do.
They have multiple campuses in some amazing locations like New York, LA, Miami, Italy, Australia, and online. And you can learn more about the New York Film Academy at nyfa.edu. That's nyfa.edu. Thanks, Maureen.
Apple Card is the perfect cashback rewards credit card. You earn up to 3% daily cash on every purchase, every day. That's 3% on your favorite products at Apple, 2% on all other Apple Card with Apple Pay purchases, and 1% on anything you buy with your titanium Apple Card or virtual card number. Visit apple.co/card calculator to see how much you can earn. Apple Card issued by Goldman Sachs Bank USA, Salt Lake City branch. Subject to credit approval. Terms apply.
Hello, my neighbour Maureen. What's this I hear about you getting a promotion at the office? Didn't you just get promoted last month? It's all thanks to Canva. I've been nailing every meeting with AI-powered Canva presentations. Isn't that Canva's AI slide generator where you just describe your presentation in a few words and Canva presentations will generate captivating slides in seconds? That's right. And to top it off, I use Magic Write, Canva's AI text generator, to perfect my points. Sounds brilliant, Maureen. No more copying and pasting from other programs. No more app switching. Can Canva Docs with Magic Write generate any text you want for work? Yes. Sales proposals, marketing plans? Yeah. Meeting agendas, ratings of all 12 Muppet movies using the extensive point system that I developed at age 12? Anyone can save time with Canva's AI-powered tools. Generate your draft fast with Canva Docs at canva.com, designed for work. Oh, thanks, my name is Maureen. Yeah, thank you. Sharon, what is the film that you used to love, you loved it dearly, but you've watched it recently and you've gone, oh no, I don't like this anymore, for whatever reason that might be?
Breakfast at Tiffany's.
Oh boy, talk to me.
Mickey Rooney as a Chinese guy.
Yes, please.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
It is a shocker when you watch that back.
Oh, ouch.
It's a real, like, oh boy.
You can't unsee that. You cannot unsee with the teeth.
The teeth? I forgot about the teeth.
He's got
boy.
Buck cross.
Oh boy.
Glasses. Oh, I thought I was. That has to go into the shredder. That can't even be in the, like, we clean that movie up and put it in the vault for the days, the lovely.
Yeah, it can't be in memoriam.
No.
That's got to go in the "this never happened" file. Oh. We don't talk about it. That is so true. It's so shocking, and it's such a, everyone remembers it, it's such a lovely film, and then you see it and you go, fuck it out. Make it stop. Where's XXX? Sharon, what is the film that means the most to you? Not necessarily the film itself is any good, but because the experience you had around seeing it that will always make it special.
I started being allowed to go, being dropped off at movies when I was about 15. And I think I went to see Cleopatra Jones.
Oh, wow.
And I was the only white girl in the theater in a little town where, you know, we were quite segregated.
Right.
And she came on the screen, come on. And she was so fabulous, right?
Yeah.
And I was in the theater like, okay, this is a way to see a movie. And I was like, okay. And they shot her like the way they shot Verushka, like from the ground up, you know?
Yeah.
She was like this giant goddess. And it was like, wait a second. My entire framework is being shifted. My reality of life and film and people, and okay, this is fantastic. Like, this is very important thing for me in my life. And my father was very much, he was a Democrat in a town where the paper was the Tribune Republican, you know, he was a very much a humanist and, mm-hmm. you know, but still, it's a segregated town. There was, this is not a diverse, this is a farm country. This is like one stoplight town, Amish people, gangsters, you know?
Yeah.
It's not.
That's fascinating.
So all of a sudden I'm like, oh, multiracial reality. It was big for me.
That's huge. What is the film that you most relate to? What film do you relate to the most?
You know, just recently, it's a television film.
Yeah.
And it's a series, and it's called Normal People.
I've been watching that myself.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I really related to that.
To both characters, all the characters, or the whole thing?
Girl, I related to the girl.
Yeah.
I mean, obviously, it's a more, you know, it's a more theatrical character, but I related to the girl in that.
Can I ask you, in what way, like when you feel like her in the way that she's different?
Well, I was the girl that was writing other people's term papers and, but still sort of isolated and thought I was really unattractive and separate and then kind of reinvented myself and became this other thing. And then the other thing wasn't really me either. And then I had to sort of figure out how to be the original me and make it work.
The real butterfly.
Yeah.
That's really good. Thank you. Yeah. Sharon Stone, what is the sexiest film you've ever seen?
Because I am such a huge Humphrey Bogart lover.
Love him.
To me, is between Casablanca and African Queen.
Mm.
Because there's just something about that kind of like, I like the survivalist relationships that are like, we're doing it together. We're in this and we're in it together and we're figuring out what we're going to do and we're doing it together. There's something to me that's very sexy about that. I like that. Partnering through a thing. I always like that thing that I think it was Oscar Wilde that said that real love is not just looking deeply into each other's eyes, but looking outward at the same thing.
I never heard that.
Yeah. It's like, I think that is it. It's not just that ability to look so lovingly at each other, but to stand side by side and look at something with the same kind of intention, to me, is really sexy.
That's great. Now, Sharon, this next question, you're a very classy individual, but if I don't ask you this, everyone who listens to this podcast will be mad at me for leaving this question out. But the next question is a subcategory to the sexiest film, which is called, and forgive me, it's called Troubling Boners, Worrying Wideons. And the question is, what film did you find sexy that you thought perhaps you shouldn't have?
The Heat of the Night.
Okay. Why is that, may I ask?
Well, it's when Rod Steiger has this confrontation with Sidney Poitier.
Mm-hmm.
And he says to him, he's called Virgil, and I don't know if you remember the film.
He says, they call me Mr. Tips.
Right. But Rod Steiger screams at him, what do they call you up there? And then he stands up to him and he says, they call me Mr. Tips. Hmm. And when he did that in that film, I thought, you are the sexiest motherfucker I have ever laid eyes on in my entire life. I'm dying right now. I can't take it.
That's
and I
great.
Thought, oh, and I thought, is this supposed to be sexy? I don't know what's happening, but like, I can't take it. And then in my lifetime, I got to be friends and have Sidney Poitier be my mentor.
Wow.
I got to work with Rod Steiger in a movie, and he was the villain. And I got to just hate him in the movie. And it was so fantastic. I was like, yes, this is all working out perfectly.
This is for Mr. Tips. That's great. Sharon, can I just say thank you for letting me ask that question and thank you for answering it properly. I appreciate that. What is objectively the greatest film of all time? Not necessarily your favorite, but objectively.
For me, and it is kind of my favorite, but objectively to me, I think The Last Emperor. And
that's
I feel that Bertolucci is a spectacular filmmaker, and it's a great film because it's so well made. And it's a great film because it's an historical film. And it's a great film because it's a film that stands the test of time. It's a great film because children can watch it, adults can watch it. It's a beautiful film. I really admire that film as a filmmaker. I love that film.
Yeah. You know what? No one has picked that on this show, and it's king brilliant.
It's just
such a good film.
Oof.
Oh. Oh. Oh, that film. Tell me this. What film have you or could you watch the most over and over again?
I do watch over and over again Cabaret.
That's a great film. Love that film.
It's a great film on so many levels. It's a great film because of the way it tells such a horrific story. It's a great film because the costumes are insane, the performances are insane, and the stories within the big story are very important. The stories of racism, the stories of homophobia, the stories of class realities, the stories of the period and the time, the stories of greed, everything within the story is fantastic. All the elements are so beautiful. The costumes are magnificent. The makeup is incredible. And the sense of the surrealistic sense of the way he cut and shot it almost creates a magical realism on the screen. I find it to be a spectacularly made film, and a film that whether you're German or American, you look at and think, yes, it was incredibly nuts. That it was nuts. That war was nuts.
Yeah.
And the music is beautiful. The score is spectacular. The words, the lyrics to the music are beautiful. The dancing is Bob Fosse's kind of dancing is just speaks volumes to the story he was telling. I just think it's overall just so well done.
Yeah. That's a fucking great film. I think about a lot that the moment where is it the song "The Future Belongs to Me"?
Uh-huh.
You only see the swastika right at the end. It's so brilliant. It's such a brilliant. It's really profound, that film.
And
all this sexual fluidity. Yeah. It's got it.
The movie is very mellifluous, but when he sings "Does the Future Belongs to Me," they're very crisp. Close up are very clean. There's so much purity. They're the clean people.
Yeah, they're very clean.
Yeah.
Be scared. Right. We don't like to be too negative, but we'll do this quickly. What's the worst film you ever see?
Anaconda.
How dare you? I love that film. Anaconda is a masterpiece. Anaconda is the triple X of snake films. Anaconda is great, and it's got John Voight doing weird faces at J-Lo. It's great. What could you possibly not like about Anaconda? Okay, fair enough. Right, you're a funny person. What is the funniest film you've ever seen?
Bridesmaids.
Correct. It's just brilliant.
Nothing is funnier than when they're crapping in the street.
And it's so beautifully shot as well.
Or when Melissa McCarthy puts her leg up in the airplane. When she put her leg up, I don't know what it is about that, but that's the funniest move. She's so funny when she just starts telling someone that how awful they are. That's my funniest for her.
She's really special.
I love her.
Maureen, what's this I hear about you going to film school? I want to gain valuable skills while making films and developing my creativity. So I'm attending the New York Film Academy. I'm thinking about becoming one of them people that writes the numbers on the title board. NYFA is a very respected film school.
I hear they offer a variety of options to meet your educational goals, whether you want a BFA or MFA degree or want to learn at a quicker pace with a short-term programme. That's right! They've got workshops and summer camps in filmmaking, acting, cinematography, screenwriting, producing, game design, musical theatre and more. Are you attending in New York? Might do. They have multiple campuses in some amazing locations like New York, LA, Miami, Italy, Australia and online. And you can learn more about the New York Film Academy at nyfa.edu. That's nyfa.edu. Thanks, Maureen. Hello, my neighbour Maureen. What's this I hear about you getting a promotion at the office? Didn't you just get promoted last month? It's all thanks to Canva. I've been nailing every meeting with AI-powered Canva presentations. Isn't that Canva's AI slide generator where you just describe your presentation in a few words and Canva presentations will generate captivating slides in seconds? That's right. And to top it off, I use Magic Write, Canva's AI text generator, to perfect my points. Sounds brilliant, Maureen. No more copying and pasting from other programs. No more app switching. Can Canva Docs with Magic Write generate any text you want for work? Yes. Sales proposals, marketing plans, yeah. Meeting agendas, ratings of all 12 Muppet movies using the extensive point system that I developed at age 12. Anyone can save time with Canva's AI-powered tools. Generate your draft fast with Canva Docs at canva.com, designed for work. Oh, thanks, my neighbor Maureen. Yeah, thank you.
Spectrum One is a big deal. You get Spectrum Internet with the most reliable internet speeds, free advanced Wi-Fi for enhanced security and privacy, and a free Spectrum Mobile Unlimited line with nationwide 5G included, all while saving big. For the big speed, big reliability, and big savings you want, get Spectrum One. Just $49.99 a month for 12 months. Visit spectrum.com/bigdeal for full details. Offer subject to change. Valid for qualified residential customers only. Service not available in all areas. Restrictions apply.
Can I ask you a question you might not have an answer to, and that's fine, and it's not on your list. Do you have a favourite of your own films? Of the films that you've been in, do you have a favourite?
I have things that I like about different ones for different reasons.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, obviously Casino, I think, is certainly overall the best film I've been in. And it's just the best, and it stands mm-hmm. the test of time, and you can watch it without sound.
Yeah.
If you can with any Scorsese film, because Thelma Schumacher is the greatest editor of 100%. All time.
Yeah.
And the film she edited, you know, her deceased husband, are also Michael Powell.
Yeah.
Fabulous. So the editing is really something. And you can watch it to music. You know, I think if you watch, if listen, particularly if you put on Maria Callas and listen to any of his films, I think you see there's quite good to Callas. There's a certain deep authenticity of this operatic form that those films are very good to. So I think that, but of course, I really enjoyed The Muse because I think Albert Brooks is
I love that film.
So special.
Yeah.
Really so smart and so special. I just love him. I did very much like Making Lovelace. I thought that this was these writers, they had done the Harvey Milk story.
Mm-hmm.
And I think they really understood how to make an independent film. And I thought that this was a sound independent film that told a very interesting story. I thought it was quite a good story and a powerful story. I thought the actors were good in it. And when I worked with Jim Jarmusch in Broken Flowers, again, same thing. Yeah. I thought that he's such a terrific independent director. Mm-hmm. He knows how to make a good independent film, not seeking the big audience, telling a particular type of story. I think he's very good. I thought that was, in its genre, quite a good film.
Yeah, I like that film. I love you in the Bob Dylan film, but I guess you probably can't talk about that. I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, it's a mockumentary. And
yeah, you're so good at it.
Well, first of all of us who are in the film do know Bob.
Okay.
That's why we were chosen to be in the film.
Okay, great.
We all have very discreet relationships that we would never exploit.
Yeah.
So we got to do this film in the same way.
It's so good.
It's so good.
It's so good. And it's such an amazing performance. It's completely, you're just like, well, yeah, that's real. That's it, completely real.
I mean, I can make it real for me.
Yeah.
Because I love him. Mm. And I think he's the greatest songwriter. I think he's the greatest poet since, you know, Socrates, Plato. And I genuinely believe that.
Yeah.
It's,
I don't think you're wrong.
It's real to me. And I find him to genuinely be that decent of a human being.
Oh, good.
And that's good. And so that's my truth.
I love it. Sharon Stone, what's your favorite film? And it might be different from what you think is the greatest film.
My favorite film is The Jungle Book, the original Jungle Book, the animated Jungle Book. Those musicians that
yes.
did The Jungle Book were the truly great musicians mm-hmm. of that time. And George Saunders, as the cat, who when he committed suicide, his note was ennui, that he had ennui.
Oh,
now, I already thought that he was the cat's pajamas.
Yeah.
In these weird movies like The Portrait of Dorian Gray by that amazing director that did those two movies, The Portrait of Dorian Gray and Pandora's Box, which are two fantastic movies. Because I don't know if you've seen Pandora's Box. That's Ava Gardner and James with this fantastic voice, the English.
James Mason.
Yes. And she only made, and it was a woman director, and she only made two fantastic films. And The Portrait of Dorian Gray is George Saunders again, who I just thought, why wasn't I alive to hang out with George Saunders? Because I know that we would have been best friends.
Yeah.
And he wouldn't have killed himself out of boredom because we would have laughed so much, I know it.
But you were alive to be in the era of Triple X, so it balances out.
Killed himself, ennui, Jesus, that's even funny. Like, his suicide note was a joke. I can't take it.
That's really good. So listen, Sharon, you have been beyond brilliant. However,
yes.
when you died the next time by being picked up by some aliens and taken to a new energy force that you adapted to, your soul adapted to, but your body was left behind where you were standing, which was just on the street. And I was walking past and I was like, what's happened here? And I was like, has she been struck by lightning again? What is going on? And I touched it and it was like, oh, she's still got electricity in her. What are we going to do? Anyway, I got this coffin. I put you in the coffin. But the thing is, because of all the electricity and stuff, there was like lots of, you'd attracted loads of metal. So there was a lot. Yeah. So there was a lot more of you than I planned.
Cabaret in there in college.
Exactly. Oh, put Cabaret in. Yeah. You're taking one DVD to heaven. You're going to take Cabaret.
Yeah.
Okay. They're going to have a right old time up there with you.
Because we can dance. We can watch the movie.
Yeah.
We can have a good time.
I think
we
that's
can
a great
solve answer. Arguments.
You can solve our peace. All of it.
All of
now,
it.
Now, listen, that is the that brings us to the end. Is there anything that you would like to tell people to look out for that you're going to be in or to listen to or anything you want people to know about?
Well, if you like Ryan Murphy, I'm going to be in the Ryan Murphy series starring Sarah Paulson, Judy Davis, Cynthia Nixon, and me in September on Netflix. Ratchet.
Ratchet.
And it's the pre-story of Nurse
Nurse Ratchet.
On a cuckoo's nest.
Who's Ratchet?
No, Sarah's Ratchet.
Who are you?
Even more villainous.
Oh, that's exciting. Sharon Stone, you have been an absolute delight and I really appreciate it. Thank you very much and enjoy your next life.
So that was Sharon Stone on a Rewind Classic episode. Be sure to check out the Patreon page at patreon.com/Brett Goldstein, where you get an extra chat, video and mixtapes at various tiers. And otherwise, if you fancy leaving a note on Apple Podcasts, that'd be lovely too. But make it a review of your favourite film. Much more fun. And it can be like the review section on Mubi, where people use huge words like ostentatiously directed and ardently relished and so on. Love it. Thank you so much to Sharon for her time and presence on the podcast. Thanks to Scroobius Pip and the Distraction Pieces Network. Thanks to, and this is where Brett thanks me for editing and producing the podcast, so I say it's a pleasure. Thanks to iHeartMedia and Will Ferrell's Big Money Players Network for hosting it. Thanks to Adam Richardson for the graphics and Lisa Lydon for the photography. We'll be back next week with another Rewind classic. But that is it for now. Brett and I hope you're all well. And in the meantime, have a lovely week. And now, more than ever, be excellent to each other.
Sometimes I dream of becoming an actor. Have you ever dreamt of becoming an actor? Maureen, what is it you think I do for a living? Never mind, sounds like you need the New York Film Academy. NYFA offers workshops, BFA and MFA degrees and summer camps in filmmaking, acting, journalism and more, online and on campuses across the globe. To make films alongside industry professionals, explore more at nyfa.edu. Thanks, Brett.
Thank you, Maureen.
Maureen, your Canva presentation looks brilliant. Thanks, Brett. That's because I used AI-powered Canva presentations. I just described what I wanted, and Canva presentations generated the perfect slides. You can even make a talking presentation for people to watch on their own time. Check this out. Recording. 101 Reasons Why Beaches is the Saddest Film Ever Made by your neighbour Maureen. Is it easy to use? If you can use a computer, you can nail your next work presentation with Canva Presentations at canva.com, designed for work. Oh, thanks, my neighbor Maureen. Yeah, thank you.
Hey, guys. Back at the playground again, huh?
Yep. You know what this playground could use? A wine country.
Heck yeah. And some waves. So we could go surfing.
Oh, yeah. Ah, love that.
A redwood forest would be cool.
I'm in.
Ah, ski slopes.
Let's do it.
Can a girl go shopping?
Yeah, baby.
Wait. Did we just invent California?
Discover why California is the ultimate playground at visitcalifornia.com.